People love him already. He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
Trying to break.
And we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, the start to season four, going on 3 years of the show, episode one. To start off the new season, episode 101 overall. So now we got 100 episodes under our belt. The road to 200 episodes starts now. So joining me today is a co-head manager for the University of Rhode Island men's basketball team, Jackson Stepinian. Jackson, thank you so much for hopping on, man. How you been?
Man, I'm good. I'm honored to be the first episode of Road to 200. I hope we can start off with a bang.
Yeah, season four is underway, man. We've had a lot of cool interviews and really happy to tie in the Roadie connection that a lot of people have reached out to. So, a lot of guys from Rhode Island and athletes as well. So this is a new type of interview for me. I've never interviewed, a manager of a college team. And of course, basketball being my favorite sport. I'm sure it's your favorite sport. Told me born and raised in Orange County, California, moved to North Providence at a young age. So, I wanted to know like that transition. Of course, you were probably super young, so you probably don't remember a lot of it, but just talk about what sports was like growing up for you and how you developed that passion for basketball.
So, fun fact, I hated sports at a young age.
I was the same way.
I hated physical exercise. My mom had to push my ass out onto anything. Any form of movement, from basketball to soccer to acting classes. She just wanted me to get my ass outside and not in front of a computer because I was a really big computer kid. And I kind of still am, which is kind of funny and kind of ties into what I do now. So the transition from California, I can't really comment on since I was so young. Rhode Island is really all that I know, but there are definitely some things that my mom and I did in our household growing up and things I still do now, which can be considered like somewhat odd, but my mom lived in California for I think like 30 years. So she definitely had some habits that I have now as well. So I think when it comes to basketball and how I started playing, I tried playing a YMCA league when I was really young, hated it so much. I actually fell asleep in the middle of the game at the half court, which is kind of crazy to think about in retrospect, but I started really getting into basketball, I think like fourth, fifth grade. One of my best friends, Evan Murray, shout out Evan. We started playing 2K on the Wii, and I was a huge video game dude at the time. So like the whole idea of like playing a sport on a video game was really cool. So 2K kind of like got me into hoops. And then I told my mom I was starting to rock with basketball. My mom was into basketball even at like 15. So when she finally saw me like getting into it a little bit, she like took that and ran with it. So she put me in some rec leagues in East Providence and Johnston and Providence. And Providence is where I really stuck. I loved playing with those dudes in Prov. So, and then I've played since.
Yeah. And you played 2K on the Wii, you said?
Yeah.
Really? That's new to me. I didn't even know you could do that, but
listen, you want to know why I had a Wii and didn't have an Xbox? Because my mom wanted my ass moving. She did not want me.
Dude, I like
when, had a console.
When you said like at a young age, like sports wasn't really your thing, I was like, that was how I was until I want to say like middle school. Once I made a team and I was on a team, I was like, okay, I want to get good at this. And then it was like elementary school, like sixth grade, I was like. Like a Nintendo kid, I was just always on the games and stuff, and I was just always.
Yeah, I still am. I still on road trips. I'd sneak my DS in my backpack, so I'd be in the back of the bus. If I didn't have anything to do, I'd rock some Mario Kart.
Yeah, so I guess like, once you found out that basketball was starting to click and really starting to resonate with you, and you wanted to kind of take it in stride, you started playing more. What were the types of things that attracted or part of the game that attracted you towards it? So like, I guess teams, players, inspiration behind, your passion now and how it's grown.
It's a really good question. I've always loved the idea of being a part of something bigger than me, even at like a young age. It was just always a gratifying feeling for me to participate in any means and contribute to something that a group of people can like say, oh, we did that. I don't know why. I don't know the psychological reason behind that, but I really fell in love with that, like getting to celebrate stuff with people. And I also really fell in love with the process of getting better at it. I know that sounds so cliche saying out loud, but shout out Coach Mike Tardy. He was my AAU coach for a little bit, and he really helped me fall in love with the process of like working out in a hot gym, sweating, you're working, you're feeling good, like, and then doing that multiple times a day. You learn a lot about life just like pushing yourself through like hard workouts, resistance, perseverance. Like, you learn a lot about getting over things in life like that. And that's why I think sports is so important. You learn a lot of key life lessons through not just sports. I think any form of passion in that sense. I learned a lot and I fell in love with it. Like, I always loved, like, don't get me wrong, like, I love 5-on-5 hoops. Like, I love the game of basketball, but I really fell in love with the process of getting better at it. I think that's why I love working out with our dudes so much, because that's my favorite thing. Like, that's what I love the most about it. So I think that's what gravitated me towards it. And I think over time, as I got older, I just kind of clicked with that. And that became like my niche. That became like what I love to do.
Yeah. We'll definitely get into like URI and how you click with the guys and that passion and how everything's been clicking for you these last few years at URI, but still sticking on like the high school route. You know, we talked about how you played at LaSalle. I guess your favorite basketball memory, something that you remember and that kind of ties into everything you do today. You kind of remember, like, I've said it a ton to like athletes. It's like, you know, your favorite high school or college moment, whatever. And I always tell them mine's always about Coach Dan. Of course, I talk about Coach Dan a lot. Joe Mazzulla's dad, his late dad, was just like, when he was sick my senior year, he would come to all of our games. He would always be there. So, you know, I get into that, long story short, he was always there and we would always have like a little interaction before every game. So something like that always resonates with me. So something for you that always resonates with you when you think back to LaSalle.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think this is actually a funny story. So my freshman year, I go into freshman year at LaSalle, of course, wanting to play for LaSalle and make that team. And I give my young self kudos for recognizing how, like, playing for LaSalle and Hendrickson, even as a local, I can recognize how good those two programs are. Like, Jamal Gomes has built a dynasty in Warwick. I mean, the players who have come out of that school, like, they're great basketball players. It's not like you're a normal basic high school basketball team. Like, there's a culture, there's a way that team does things. And there was a way LaSalle did things under head coach Eric Simonelli, and of course under head coach Mike McParland, who I played for. So I didn't really take that lightly. And to be upfront, I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough to play my freshman year, which sucked. But I think my best memory was getting cut from the freshman team, going up to that coach the same day getting cut and saying, like, I'm not taking no for an answer. Like, can I like be a manager or something? Like, I want to be a part of the team. He kept me around. And after the first practice, I was like, can I like start like just like getting drills? Like, I was trying to like inch my way like shorter and shorter. I'm like, let's like, give me a shot. And by any means, I wasn't good enough at all, but like, I wanted it. Like, I just wanted to, like, I didn't want to like take no as an answer. Like, I didn't want to quit. I wanted to like keep going. And I kept going. I really do think I started making like good progress. Then inevitably, like 2 weeks into the season, they surprised me with a jersey and said, like, dude, you're on the team. I think that is my favorite memory, solely because as a 14-year-old, like, I persevered. Like, I didn't allow someone to tell me no. Like, I wanted to do everything I could and that I could control to take direction in what could possibly happen. And I think that is a repeated theme with, I think it's just like who I am. Like, if I want something, I think I really want to go get it. I think I was a little naive at the time, but that was definitely my favorite memory of, like, I was told no, but I wanted to keep going. Of course, my senior year was just full of that team that we had was fantastic. But I think me personally, that's my favorite memory.
Poochie Angel, that's my guy. I used to work out with Poochie like in, I want to say middle school maybe, but probably like for a good solid like 2 years. I knew I was really close with Poochie. He was awesome.
Man, shout out Pooch, man.
Man, he was like, for me at least, I never really worked out with a trainer like at that young of an age. It was more like at the high school level where I started working out with like Justin Mazzulla, and like I started like working out with like and like actually trying to get better. Like middle school was more so like, you know, like the generic practices and, you know, not like going through the motions, but I wasn't like clicking yet until I got to high school. And then Pucci kind of put it into perspective, like he's doing like these in and out, like all these, like it was all like ball handling. Pucci was all handling the ball.
Me and Pucci, you can ask him, 5:30 in the morning, every morning senior year working. I mean, he really showed me how to work out the right way, how progression works, how you work on one thing and it progresses into another thing. He really taught me how to be detail oriented and tracking each thing and seeing progression over time with numbers. And it is really cool to see like what I do now here at for Rhode Island and seeing how my high school coaches at LaSalle kind of really like set the groundwork. So when I made the jump and started being a manager here for Rhode Island, it wasn't that big of a jump for me solely because we already did that stuff at LaSalle. So I want to use this right now to say I have so much gratitude for those guys, Mike McParland, Cam Haru, John Palazzo, and Coach Pucci Angel, man. They really set the groundwork for me. They really helped me out in every aspect of my life, including hoops and including life. So I really don't think I would have hit the ground running as quickly as I did if it wasn't for them.
Cam Haru, man, another Johnstonian. That's my guy. Love Cam.
Legend.
But yeah, I guess so. Again, having that managing background with basketball, and I think LaSalle, like I was around LaSalle a little bit. I mean, because a lot of my friends played there and people that I knew went there. So just watching, being like at Johnston, playing there, and then going to like LaSalle and like Hendrickson and seeing how those programs are ran, like from like a fan perspective, it's like you said, with Jamal and how he's built that dynasty at Hendrickson, there's like a culture, there's like a family-oriented way of going about things. There's not like one person left behind. It's all, everyone's locked in. And I'm not saying Johnston and all the other public schools weren't. It's just...
Yeah, I didn't mean to insinuate that at all. I mean, there are fantastic teams in the state. I didn't mean to come across like that, but you know exactly what I meant.
Like, for sure, especially like for both of us, like being mostly from Rhode Island and just like... It's just different when you walk into those gyms, right? So did you get a same kind of feel once you stepped onto the scene with URI? Like that same kind of family-oriented, like all one message. Everything is all kind of like we're all bought into this one.
I say no for a particular reason. I joined Rhode Island for Coach Miller's first year.
Yeah.
So I was really – I don't know. Do you mean team or do you mean like the university as a whole? If you mean team –
I would say the team, like
basketball. We were in that process of building a culture. We were in the process of laying the groundwork. You have a whole new staff and a whole new roster of players with, I forgot how many returners we had from Coach Cox to Coach Miller, but.
Not a lot,
but they were setting the groundwork. And yeah. I was and I still am really lucky to be around such a great staff with fantastic experience, and I just allowed myself to just be a sponge, and I still do, and I hopefully continue to do for I want to be a sponge for the rest of my life. But I really into every practice, every workout, just like seeing how meticulous and thorough our staff was with the language that they use and how we did certain drills, how we ended certain drills, how you need to conduct yourself in the weight room and in practice. And we absolutely have a certain way of doing things, and kudos to our staff. That's the staff's job.
How did you get in contact with those guys after high school? Was it more so like just, again, loving the game and kind of just wanted to be around that? Or was it like, okay, who do I go to?
You mean at Rhode Island?
Yeah. Once high school was over, yeah.
My story is actually really crazy. So I was originally going to be a man. So I was originally going to attend St. John's University in New York City. That's where I was going to go for my undergrad. And I got hired to be a manager through connections I had with LaSalle and St. John's, that program. I got hired and I was pumped. And of course, my mom passed that spring, and I made the decision to be like, I want to be closer to home. I think I might have a lot of stuff coming up. I just thought it was the rational decision to not go however many miles away Queens is. So when I touched down at URI, you know, every freshman has freshman orientation. I was pumped. I was excited. At that point, I had no idea that I wanted to be in hoops at all. I was like, I want to try and be a political professor. That's what I wanted to do. And in my orientation group was Rory Stewart and Lou Hutchinson, two I'd say are some of my best friends that I still have to this day. And we were just talking hoops. I had, keep in mind, I have no idea they're on the team. I just thought they were two huge dudes. Like, I didn't know who they were. And once, of course, it came up organically that they were both incoming freshmen, and they've actually already been on campus and they've been doing summer workouts and whatnot. I told them about my story about almost going to St. John's, and Rory and Lou were like, be a manager here. I was like, I'd love to. And they were like, we'll put in a word for you to our head manager at the time, John Wagner. Shout out Coach Wagner. He's a GA at UAlbany now. I think it speaks a lot to those two's characters. I'm not just saying this because they're my friends. I'm saying this because I really mean that. They owed me nothing. Like, they didn't really know me at the time. I spent maybe 28, 29 hours with them. And I got a text 2 days later about getting an interview with John. They really went out of their way to help me out. And them making that connection with me and John put me to where I am now. So I have so much gratitude to those dudes. I really wouldn't be on the track if it wasn't for them. Shout out to Lou and Rory, man. They appreciate you guys.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of that as well. We'll put a pause on that for a second. I didn't actually know the time frame of when your mom passed. I definitely obviously wanted to bring that up because I know that's like your why. Yeah. And that's your drive. And for someone like me, like my mom, she had breast cancer. She got diagnosed with breast cancer, I want to say 2021, December 2021. Yep. And she's went through a lot of adversity and fought hard and you know, still dealing with stuff today, but she's another why. Like, I always talk about my dad and how he gave me like that hardworking mentality. But I definitely want to give my mom flowers in that aspect of, like she gave me the outgoing, like outspoken, personality. Yeah. So my dad was always to the books and like, you know, work hard and good things will happen. She, you know, and he's kind of like reserved, but my mom is the one where she's like, be outgoing, be personable, be this, be that. So, why I do what I do is because of both of them. So, but enough about me. I want to know that why and what your mom meant to you. I always see you posting, like you always write on your shoes before games and like, this is for mom, this is for all, like, everything that she's taught me and everything like that. So honestly, it leaves me speechless about the story because I don't know much about the story, and now that I have you, I want to know everything about it. So the floor is yours. Deep dive into that.
Damn, man. All right, sounds good. So my mom got sick. I'll try and keep it as brief as I can.
Yeah, whatever you want. Some
details, but
yeah.
My mom got sick July 2021. I was 16. I think I just turned 16. No, I'm sorry. I just turned 17 going into my senior year. And there was a period of time from, I'd say, May to July where we, like, didn't know what was going on. And that's the worst feeling, especially, like, someone like me and her, just people in my family. We're very, okay, like, tell me what the problem is. Let's fix it. Like, that's just, like, the kind of person that people that we are. So when we like didn't know what that problem was, that was infuriating. That was probably the worst feeling. And then, of course, she gets diagnosed with cancer mid-July. So that's her story of her getting sick. And then she got unfortunately passed March 2022. I started writing for mom on my shoes. Solely because I wanted her to know I love her. When she got diagnosed, when you get hit with news like that, like, your brain has a ton of thoughts. And the first thought I had in my brain was, I don't want to be the dude who regrets not telling my mom something. So I kind of wanted her to know and everyone to know that, like, I love my mom. Like, anything that I do for the rest of my life is going to be out of the love for my mom. Like, if I ever need, like, to hit a capsule of energy or a capsule of motivation, like, I got it. So I started writing it on my shoes, and that's what For Mom was at the time. When she was still here, it was solely to just let her know, like, hey, like, I love you, like, on my chest. Like, no one can tell you that I don't. And then when she passed, it became more of, like, a subconscious motivation for me to, you don't want to do something, well, do it for mom. You don't want to get up, do it for mom. You don't want to go to practice, do it for mom. And it also became somewhat, I didn't even intend for this. It became like something for other people to really resonate with, of like, love yours while you still can, which I thought was awesome. Like, I think other than basketball, I think my favorite thing to do is like talk with people and like communicate with people and like having something that could resonate with so many. And the texts that I get even to this day of just how like me saying that or like the stuff that I post like means something to people. Like it means a lot. So I owe my mom everything, man. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. I wouldn't keep going with what I'm doing. I probably wouldn't have kept going if it wasn't for her. But things can only be so hard until you put things in perspective, I think. And there's not a much harder thing than not only just losing a parent, but also like withstanding that hardship. And so many people have so much hardship. I think we forget just because people don't tell you something's going on. Like everyone has something. So I think when it comes to your perspective, I just think it's important to just remember that everyone has something going on. Everyone's persevering and fighting through something, and just to be mindful of that. And that's what I try and do.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you reached out, because I've always seen you from afar, you know, being a broadcaster for URI for a couple of years, and well, always seen you on the other side of the court, and I always knew that you had some kind of tie with basketball. And then a mutual, you know, following and whatnot. I would see you post about your mom. Obviously didn't know much about it, but now I'm honestly super blessed to be able to give you a platform to do that. I mean, I'm not sure I'm not sure if you've done that before and spoke like publicly about that on other different platforms or whatever, but for me, I'm happy that you can do it on my show, and shine light on someone that has driven you, because you, like, we've never really had a conversation like we are now. And I can tell that you're well-spoken. I can tell that you know what you want. I can tell that you're driven, and I can tell that that's all from your mom. And yeah, for sure, man. Something that if you can't talk about it, if you want to talk about it, one of your memorable moments with your mom, something that, again, sticks with you every day, and I'm sure there's a million of them, but something that something that you look back at and that makes you laugh, that pushes you through a day.
Man, I have countless, and I think I think a lot of them would get me made fun of from everybody because she was very much a ball buster. I was always the butt end of jokes. So no, I think my favorite, I won't say a favorite memory of me and her. I'll say one of me and her was, actually watching, I think the last basketball game we watched together was Providence and Richmond. The NCAA tournament, the 2022. That was the last time I had ever watched a game with her. And that was just a good game. She had passed, I think she passed like 9 days later.
Yeah.
But she was so like into that game. Keep in mind, my mom's from Providence, so she's a huge Providence college basketball fan, and she was just, as someone who was so sick and didn't have that much time left, man, she was a fucking ball of fire while I came. And I had Richmond in my bracket, so I really needed Richmond to win that game. So that's one memory between me and her. But I think my favorite memory of my mom is like coming down, especially as a teenager, like you want to get a late night snack, you're on the game, you're doing whatever, you go downstairs to get a snack. And I just remember her, it'd be like 1:30 in the morning and she's just working. My mom was a work-at-home mom because she wasn't a single mom. And every company she had worked for countless insurance companies she worked for, they granted her to work from home, which was awesome. That it allowed me to have that close connection with my mom. The amount that she worked, man, in retrospect, now that I'm turning into an adult, was crazy. And I give her kudos for that. And it's even more motivation for me to just like keep going. Like she set the groundwork for me when it comes to doing this stuff you don't want to do. Like I doubt she wanted to sit and grind away in front of a computer for hours, but she had to do what she had to do. So now I'm trying to keep that with me and do what I need to do to get to where I need to get to. I think that's probably the best memory I have of her, just her sheer tenacity, her work ethic, and her drive.
Yeah, man, this episode, shout out moms, all the moms listening, or
shout out all the moms,
man, this is for moms.
Shout out all the moms, the dads, the grandmas, the aunts, the uncles, whoever is someone's support system. If you don't even have family like that, if you have cousins, if you have friends, man, shout out them, because it always takes a team. And I really think that's why I love being a part of a team, because it's so reflective of life. No one can do one thing alone. Like, it always takes a village to do anything, to when it comes to getting a job, when it comes to getting a position, when it comes to persevering through hardship, when it comes to anything. I mean, I can go on. You need a good group. And I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for the group that I had, right? I have. So shout out my support system. Shout out my friends. Shout out my family. Yeah, it's always bigger than us. It's always bigger than me. It's always about we. I love that.
That's crazy how, like, we honestly kind of think alike. When you were saying that, I always live, like, every day kind of with the mindset of I have the best support staff in the world. From friends to family to whoever it is, everybody always has my best interest, which is amazing. So I always try to give my best interest to everybody that's around me. And again, that's a credit to Dan and my family, because Dan was like a second father figure to me when I was growing up. And, you know, again, to see where Joe's at in the finals, you know, only four games away from holding up that trophy. I mean, and to be able to be a part of something and speak on it is a blessing at the end of the day too, to be able to be considered for that. So, all goes back to your roots. So I guess going on the line of that with your mom and how you had to kind of persevere through that and like keep that in the back of your head. And like you said, I love what you said, like, oh, if I don't feel like doing this today, do it for mom. I don't feel like whatever it is, like, do it for mom. The coaches versus cancer thing that you mentioned is something that's been a big part of your life for the past 2 years, right? Or is it just one? Yeah, so 2 years. So I guess talk more about that, what it is, and the effect it plays on Rhode Island.
So Coaches versus Cancer is, I mean, it's a huge organization that raises, I don't even want to paraphrase, let's just say a lot of money for a fantastic cause. So I got a phone call October of 2022 from, I'm not going to say her name just because I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I got a phone call from a friend of my mom's who works for Coaches versus Cancer. And she, first off, I had no idea what Coaches versus Cancer was. I was still getting my feet wet in this whole thing, but I knew like basketball is something I wanted to go full in. So when I heard the word coaches, I said, yes. I didn't even hear the word. I didn't even know what it was. I just said, yes. When she told me what it was and what it pertained to, and I'd be giving a speech about my mom. Keep in mind, my mom had only died like five months ago. I ran with that, and they really gave me a platform like you are right now and like you do for so many. They really gave me a platform to not only tell my story and my mom's story, but how it ties in with my passion for hoops. And having the privilege to say that to my head coach who was there, Coach Miller, and the other head coaches that were there, Coach Cooley, Coach Jared Grasso, Coach Mike Martin, that was such an honor for me as someone who wants to be a coach, and to also hear all of their input and all of their advice and their kind words and all the other people that were there, the athletic directors, the donors, the fans of each program. As a kid who was just trying to get into basketball, knowing that I had that support, even if it was for one day or if it's until I graduate or if it's when I'm 45, just having that for one day felt like it was most like I can't even describe like the gratitude I had of like the love that I felt. And also getting an award in my mom's name is something that I hold dear to my heart. And I'll never forget that day. And then when they called me back to do the second year this past fall, that was an even greater feeling. So shout out to Coaches versus Cancer, shout out to the American Cancer Society, shout out to all the Rhode Island head coaches and everyone that has and continues to show me love.
Yeah, we've shined light on it. I think the two broadcasts leading up to that, because I think it's right before the PC game, right? And then they have PC versus URI. So whatever game it was, like I can't remember now, but I was on a handful of games for URI. Junior year was – so I actually transferred from Rhode Island College to URI, if you didn't know. But that junior year was my first time on the scene. So once they saw something in me as a broadcaster, I got more opportunities at basketball. So I remember, like, they wanted me to read the Coaches versus Cancer read. They wanted me to read something about it. They showed the graphic with you and Cooley and everybody. And that's when I remembered. I was like, oh, you know, I've seen him around. I know a little bit about him. I don't know the story. So like I said, dating back to, you know, however, that was like 2 years ago, it's cool to now deep dive into that story and what's that why and what's that drive. But going back to, I guess, your role with URI, right? So you hop on the scene freshman year, all this stuff is happening. You're going through all this hardships, but you're still working at it every single day, right? You met, yes, Rory, you met Lou.
Yes.
I guess like your mindset, because I obviously playing was in the back of your head, and that managing experience you still had. You always, you know, take that with you every day. Didn't know really what was going to happen now with basketball, with Rory basketball. But you met, like I said, you met Rory, you met Lou. Well, like that transition period now after that. They're like, oh, we'll give you a call and we'll let you know what happens. Not even like a day after, all this stuff just kind of comes at you at once. So just run me through that time frame.
So I had an interview. I got interviewed. I got hired. And I think when I got hired, I was so excited, because when I was a manager, when I was going to be a manager at St. John's, I like wanted to be a coach, and I knew that being a manager is absolutely a route to get in basketball, to stay in basketball. And there's not a thing on this planet more that I love than basketball. I mean, seriously, if you could lock me in a gym without any pay for the rest of my life, I don't think I'd complain once. Like I'd die on a court. So having that opportunity to be a part of something bigger than me, to be a part of like Rody Hoops and join a fantastic head coach who was just coming in, I was ecstatic. But I knew that I would need to earn my stripes, I think as any manager does. So I kind of went into my first year like embracing being a grunt. Like anything I could grab and do and like prove my worth, like I tried to jump on. And I was really blessed in to have a staff that like allowed me to do that. I want to shout out Justin. I want to shout out Justin Mazzullo. He was like he gave me so much opportunity to grow and learn and how to conduct myself like a professional, and like what's important, what's not important, how you should like the perspective that you should have when it comes to growth. And in retrospect, he was in his first year not being a player. So all this stuff was relatively new to him too. Of course, he has a long history of hoops in his family, but just having him, like, I think guide me in a sense of how to do things a certain way, how to be detail oriented, how to have like the bigger picture in mind. And the bigger picture is it's not about you. It's about like the whole program. Having that for my first year on top of the other mentors that I have and continue to have, I was guided on a right track really early. So when I look at where I am now and where I hope to continue to go, I'll never forget about the people that set me on that path in the first place.
Yeah. And I guess fast forwarding now to this day, more so, has your role like increased in a way, or is it more so like it's the same responsibilities, but you've just grown so much as a coach and as a manager and as a person that you bring more of a presence than what you did your freshman year?
It's definitely a feel thing. I mean, you go in as an 18-year-old and you're around people who have been doing this their whole life. I knew from the jump that I never ever wanted to step on toes. I mean, this is a business. This is a job. Like, this is how people feed their families. So if someone on our staff is getting paid money to coach these guys, I'm not going to ever like try and do something that's not in my job description. Like, my job description is to be an extra pair of hands and help in any way, shape, or form that I can. But in the bigger picture for me is I do want to learn these things, and I do want to start practicing these skills so I can possibly, hopefully, join a team or coach a team or whatever is in my path. I don't want to put myself in a box, but I always had the background thought of how can I apply the skills that I'm learning. But to answer your question of what has changed from my freshman year to junior year, it's definitely experience. I'm definitely learning how to add more value while still doing my job the right way. I'm not a coach yet. I have a long way to go in that journey. And I know that. And I embrace that. I love that. I'm eager for the road for me to go down. So in the moment, I'm just trying to be the best student manager I can be to make our coaches' lives and our players' lives as easy as possible so we can all focus on one thing. And that one thing is winning. And that's a pretty cliche thing to say, but that's my real perspective. I think if I do and my other managers do their job the best way they can, then our staff and players focus on one thing, and that's winning basketball games.
Yeah, for sure, man. And you are a coach too, and in anyone's eyes too. Like, the whatever you do, like whatever you think you're not, you are to other people, right? So I don't know if you've ever had Keith LaBelle as a professor at URI, but I would highly recommend it if you can try to get him in your next coming semesters there. But he was somebody for me that was just super impactful, somebody that reminded me of Dan and just made me want to run through a wall, right? Just the way that he commanded, like, respect. And, you know, he would have us come in the classroom and try to speak in front of everybody. And that was, like, the main preface of his class was get comfortable being uncomfortable. Reps every day, try to get a rep every day. Even if you're not, if you don't feel like you are, just do something that you can do every day to work at your craft. Right. And, when I got up there and I was telling my story and what I want to do and all this stuff, I would say, I'm not a broadcaster. I'm not this, I'm not that, because in my eyes, it's like, I'm not, like, I don't have a job right now, but I'm doing stuff to get to that point. And he's like, no, you are, like, you are a broadcaster. Like, all the stuff that you do, like, gives off that those tendencies. Like, you are, like, in other people's eyes, you're more than what you think of yourself. So never, like, and I know you don't discredit yourself, but, like, just the way that, like, you are a coach, you are, like, what you are at such a young age, to be around what we're around is, like, a once in a lifetime kind of opportunity. Yeah. Not a lot of these people get.
We're lucky, man.
Yeah, for sure. So anyone listening, just take advantage of any opportunity that you can get. I think just being, because you're super well-spoken, super, super well-spoken. I think that people listening can take something from that and can be.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Just being personable with people can always get your foot in the door anywhere. But I know I'm kind of talking in circles. Back to your journey after, you know, this year or this summer now, what we're in the present. You talked about USA. You were a support staff for Team USA, like 3-on-3 men's and women's.
Yes.
So do you currently do that now? One. And two, how has that experience been?
It's currently not a position I'm in now. It was mainly solely for training camp when they were in Springfield preparing for the selection committee and tryouts. I was basically staff for the women's tryouts and then men's training camp when we were in Springfield. And I can't highlight enough how much that, I mean, not to sound dramatic, really changed, like, my life. I mean, I can't put it lightly. I am one to try and diminish everything, because I don't ever want to, like, get too high or too low when something happens, or if I were to quote unquote accomplish something or whatnot, I try and stay, or try and better to, like, stay even. But when it comes to Team USA, I can't do that. There's something special about, like, you having, like, Team USA on your shirt, and, you know, you didn't, like, buy that shirt on eBay. Like, you're working with Team USA. And that was a really gratifying feeling. First off, those girls, to be around those girls, how talented those girls are, and where the women's sport is going. To say that, and I said this to them when we're in a big circle in the meeting room, we're going around and each coach and each support staff member saying their name, and, like, say something about themselves. I was really, and I truly meant what I said. I said, I am so lucky that I can tell my kids that I was a part of the evolution of women's hoops. Like, to be in the same room with, like, Cameron Brink, Haley Van Lith, Ryan Howard, I mean, Lexi Hall. I mean, I can go on. Like, the stars that were in that room, and to just see how professional they were, how they really treated this like a job. But just because they treated it like a job didn't mean they weren't still in love with the game. Because at the end of the day, man, it's a game. Like, we're playing a game. But to see how they approached it with such professionalism, and see how they approached it with such, like, attention to detail, and how they approached it with such passion, I really was able to take a lot from the coaches that I work with and the players I was with of how that next level is like. And so I learned a lot as someone who was around hoops that I felt I could bring back here when it comes to how I conduct myself, how I conduct my work, how I'm organized, how I can always be ready for stuff maybe I didn't know I needed to be ready for. And also just showed me, like, what's out there, like what the game can bring you and, like, where it can take you. I mean, these people have an opportunity to go play in Paris in the Olympics and have Team USA on their chest. Like, that's something just, I think, so special about that, and so special about being in sports, and so special about being in hoops is, like, it doesn't get any better than that. And then, of course, being on the men's side with Canyon Berry and Jimmer Fredette, and seeing how they are same as the women's, they're professionals for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, the people who make it to that point to, like, have the opportunity to play for Team USA, like, you have to have a certain character about you, because if everyone can do it, then everyone would do it. You know what I mean? So getting to be around them, and that, and the staff and everyone I worked with, from the head coaches to the support staff with me, was really a life-changing experience, solely because it enlightened me to what is needed from me as an individual, both personally and from a basketball perspective, to grow. Like, I saw some of the groundwork that, not the groundwork, I saw like a little bit of like the direction I need to go in. And on top, it just showed me like, if you really love it, like if you really put everything into it, and anything that you do, man, like you can do anything, like you can accomplish anything. And so I drove home with my man Q, and I drove home and we were just like, there's no way we just did that. Like, there's no way we just worked that for a week. And I really think I came back a completely different person, both basketball wise and as a person. So I have so much. Shout out to Andrea. Shout out to Preston. Shout out to everyone from Team USA for hiring me. And I owe you guys everything. I really can't articulate how much that experience meant to me.
Yeah, when you have opportunities like that, it kind of just changes your whole perspective on everything, right? And I'm excited to see what that next step is for me. I don't know what's to come next, but I've definitely had a few of those, like meeting certain people like Mike Breen and meeting people like Clyde Frazier, like being able to be in their presence and speak with them for a little bit. It's like, I'm talking to like Hall of Famers right now. This could be something that, I could be at that point. Who knows in my career? I don't know. I'm not calling myself a Hall of Famer or anything, but that's what you strive for. So I guess to kind of cap everything off and everything that we talked about, you kind of touched on it a little bit on how USA helped you learn and grow and bring those same kind of tactics and skill sets to URI. But I guess your mindset now coming into this is your senior year now, right?
Junior year.
So, you're coming into your junior year.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So still got 2 more years. All right. So same thing. You're going to be an upperclassman. Just the mindset now coming into next season.
I think my mindset is, how much can I keep growing as a person? Like, I'm young, man. Like, I'm 19. I'm about to turn 20. And I know the life that I want to have, and I know the kind of jobs I want to have. And I know to be really good at them, I need to be really grounded. So I think the mindset I have is, that's a really good question. I think I'm trying to be where my feet are at. I think that's the best way I can put it, because that really covers everything. I'm really embracing where I am right now, and where I am is with a really talented Rhode Island team and a fantastic staff at Rhode Island, people that I view as a second family and mentors, and I really am committed to continuing to give. I think I have. I'd like to think I'd give this place 100%, continuing to give this place 100%, and just embracing the journey of it. Because I think I'm someone who gets really caught up in like the negative emotions of, I think, just life. I mean, especially like what I've gone through, and then the consequences of that, and then having to deal with everything on top of that. And it's really easy to be like, oh man, like life is hard. Like, this sucks. Like, oh my God, I went through all this. Now I got to like do this film project, and oh my God, I got a paper due, and crap. Like, instead of, I think, running away from those, like that resistance and those feelings, I think for the next 2 years, I'm really ready to start embracing that, and just knowing that like, this is a journey, like this is a process, and not everyone can say that they're working towards something and have a process yet. So I'm really lucky to have that. So I think for the next 2 years, I'm really committed to just being where I'm at, being where my feet are at, and giving this place 100 and 110%. Hopefully we can bring back one of those. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. So yeah, that's my mindset for the next 2 years.
Man, I'm excited to see what happens for you, man. I'm rooting for you. You got me in your corner. Anything else you want to kind of close off on? I mean, this is first episode of season 4. I'm pumped. I'm pumped to see where this takes me. I mean, every other season I come into, or every episode I come into, it's like the same kind of mindset, the same skill set, the same everything that I've been doing, but like in a better way. Like, I'm always trying to take, like I said, reps, always trying to get reps. So anything you want to close off on?
I think the only thing I'll close off on is, if there's one person listening to this that has a passion and is afraid to jump on it, do jump on it. Just jump. I took a jump. I'm taking a jump right now. Like, nothing in this is promised, but I have zero regrets. I wouldn't. I get to live every single day in a basketball gym. There's not another thing I'd want to do. So if you have something calling you and you're afraid to jump on it, whether that's for economic reasons, financial reasons, or maybe you're nervous, don't think you're good enough, dude, do it. Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah, it's something different. Just walking onto a court, like that feel you get, it's unmatched, I think, in my opinion.
Man, yeah. Don't get me started. I could talk about that. I think the last thing I wrap up on is today's Thursday, June 6th. It's the first day of the NBA Finals. Go Celtics.
Let's go. Let's go, Joe. And oh my God, $1 million question. I didn't even ask you that. What'd you think of Camp's Corner? Always cap off. What'd you think?
What I think of what?
Camp's Corner. The
like
show.
Being on?
Yeah, yeah.
I think this has been a fantastic experience. And I'm really excited and eager to see where you take it, because I really think it can go somewhere. Keep doing your thing.
Thank you, Jackson. Season 4 now. Episode 1's underway. Cam's One Corner, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner.